Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game Day podcasts from TalkSport. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Game Day, the appendix.
You lucky people, or you gluttons for punishment, whichever way you see it. Thank you. I know you've all downloaded the Game Day podcast in your tens of millions. Thanks for all the awards as well, by the way, in the recent awards season. But this is even better. This is the appendix, and I love it, the idea that it might be a useless organ. But we'll leave that alone for now. This is the appendix.
Nature doesn't even want the appendix anymore, does it?
This is the appendix to the Game Day podcast, where the bits of stuff that we know you'd like to know about but didn't quite make the cut and thrust of the first show, i.e. not rubbish. Great stuff, but just enough space for it. Give us 15 minutes and we'll give you a load of other great stuff. Mark Smith is with me, so is Mark Webster. Mark Smith is going to start with some stuff for the appendix.
Yeah, so this is the story. I mean, it's a bizarre one. One of my favourite ever players in my entire life to watch was Ronaldinho. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unbelievable. Fair enough, yeah. Someone who he would do stuff frequently that I just had never, ever seen before and probably haven't really seen since. You see a few people
he's
try and do similar things.
He's the most gifted ball player I've ever seen play, and that includes Messi. Messi's a better footballer, but in terms of playing the ball,
I'd rather watch Ronaldinho than any of those guys, I think.
Right.
And during his playing time, he would do all sorts of mad things, and off the pitch, he lived in a hotel rather than, you know, have a normal life in the suburbs. And it seems as though his life
has gone... Got his own samba band.
Has he really?
Has he?
Samba band. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So again, music there.
This is very interesting because what was the name of the Peruvian fellow who played for Newcastle?
Not Solano.
He had a mariachi band. He had a mariachi band. Oh yeah, trumpet.
His face was on a coin.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, already the appendix is better than the main show, isn't it?
So, packet of chips, please. That'll be Nobby.
Yeah, two Nobbies.
Yeah, nice.
Well, since we're on faces on coins, I've got a real problem coming up now.
Is this a Queen thing again?
No. Democratic decision for the UK to leave the EU. I didn't approve, but I think you had to do it once you had a referendum. They're going to celebrate this with this 50p coin with one of my great heroes, Sherlock Holmes, is one of my absolute obsessions. And now I won't be able to enjoy the coin.
Been
until,
besmirched.
Of course, in my dotage, I don't remember what it was for anymore. I just look at it, think it's very nice indeed. Where were you going with Ronaldinho?
Although, of course, it's nice that the image would be a fiction and not real.
Yeah.
I kind of like the abstract nature
addict.
Of that. Exactly, yeah. Quite right too, yeah.
Well, it's funny you bring up the Brexit thing there because we're changing the passports as well, which brings me back to Ronaldinho. My first time. Ronaldinho has been... He's been caught in Paraguay, trying to enter Paraguay on a fake passport. And I mean,
one of the most
famous people in South America ever.
Yeah.
He's now. But why did he need a fake passport?
I've got no idea. I mean, he's in court at the minute, so I don't know how much we can say about it. But that's the charge been levelled, that he's been entering on a fake, him and his brother, on a fake passport. And it just seems absolutely bizarre to me that 15 years ago to the day, he was scoring that absolute world-class goal against Chelsea, we all remember. Little samba dance, essentially, on the penalty.
No back
penalty
lift.
Area. No penalty at all. Toe poke straight past Petacek. 15 years on, he's got a dodgy passport trying to enter a country he shouldn't be in.
I must admit, if you told me that Ronaldinho had a number of passports, I'd be in no way surprised.
Yeah.
It's just the idea that in South America, he's going to present it, and they're going, but you're... And then, because, of course, they're going to look at it, aren't they? Because he's Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
And then they say, and actually the photographs I've seen of it online, it's a very poor thing, isn't it? If you ask, you've got about 40 children, haven't you? Yeah, if you ask your youngest, when she was about 3 or 4, to knock you up what you think a passport looks like, that's essentially
that
what it
be,
was.
Is it hand-drawn images?
Is.
Oh, well, fantastic.
You'd have had it on the fridge with a magnet. Absolutely.
No, I'm not Ronald Dino. I'm Dean Reynolds.
Also, he's the most extraordinary-looking person. Yeah. There's no one else who looks like Ronald Dino.
But I imagine, so the passport photo I've seen looks, like you say, it looks pretty amateurish, but I imagine he has paid someone quite a lot of money for it, right? Oh, and right. So it probably must look quite similar to the way, we're looking at it through from a position of, this is what our passport looks like. It looks professional, yeah. But actually it might be that Paraguayan passports look like that.
As long as there's something really cloak and dagger about it.
Yeah.
I approve wholeheartedly. 100%.
I'm on his side here.
It's the greatest part. I mean, I love spy films of any kind, even if they're terrible. But for me, the biggest, when all the shooting stops and somebody is raising a photograph out of a passport to put another photo, it's one of the best moments of all of them, isn't it?
Is.
Where everybody in the spy world owns a scalpel for that exact purpose,
false
don't
moustache,
they?
John.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The new Jason Bourne where he's cutting out a picture of Ronaldinho.
That's supposed to be the only football equivalent of people crossing a boundaries and borders in disguise, of course, is England Birmingham manager Don Revie. People were fed up with his time as England manager in the mid-70s, went off, and then unheard football waters, he went off to negotiate with the Saudi Arabians while he was still England manager and wore a full Arab headdress and gown through Heathrow to be in disguise with the people who were going to employ him for a huge amount of money. You remember this?
I think the huge amount of money was actually from England fans clubbing together to pay for him to go and manage abroad, really, wasn't it, in the end?
I resent in many ways the fact that you're much younger than me, Mark, but it does allow me occasionally to dansplain things to you. The other thing that Don Revie did when he got the England job, and he was a terrible England manager, he was a very good manager of Leeds United, terrible England manager, his first squad that he picked, how many players?
It's either high or low, isn't it?
Yeah.
40.
72. He brought 72.
Because you never know. You just never know.
England qualified players to a massive hotel in Hertfordshire. Yeah. It's been near Wembley. And the reports, speak to people like Rodney Marsh, the reports about that England squad, he decided that in order to get these young, and remember, these are 70s footballers. They're not rich, but they're very leery. And it's the only, they're the ones, along with pop stars, who can get the ladies that they want and who go out drinking, and they're all aspiring to be George Best. He thought the best way to entertain 72 professional footballers in an enclosed space was to play bingo and carpet bowls. I've never even heard of carpet bowls.
No.
They were playing the length of the hotel carpet bowls. So Ronaldinho's disguise good. Don Revie, just an excuse to tell you those stories about the great man. If Don Revie deserves to be in the appendix, what about David Moyes? Now, look, you'd think David, at the current moment, would have enough on his plate trying to work out how West Ham players could differentiate between a cow's backside and a banjo, finishing-wise, right? At the moment, they're very confused. They're hitting the banjo with the cow's ass, but they need to go the other way around, don't they? But instead, we've had his musings on the Carabao Cup. Now, maybe it's because he's a Scot, and he remembers the glory days of something called the Anglo-Scottish Trophy. I'm sure you do, Mark.
Hands across the wall. Absolutely a wonderful
occasion. When was this?
God, late 70s? The 70s. Okay. All the big, the middle-ranking teams in the Premier League and the top teams in Scotland, maybe not Celtic and Rangers, they played something called the Anglo-Scottish Cup. Those are the days when Scottish clubs really could compete with English clubs, by the way.
And bizarrely enough, from as you describe it, doesn't sound like the worst idea in the world by modern standards, does it?
And David Moyes is saying that the Carabao Cup should be replaced by a league cup, if you like, that takes in not just the Scottish, but also the Welsh League, as I understand it, and the Northern Irish League, which means the upsides would be that we'd hear the new Saints would be in the cup competition, and you'd get a chance to play at the football ground in Northern Ireland with the greatest name in world football. You get to play at Solitude. The ground of, is it Cliftonville? I'm not quite sure which of them, but one of the grounds is called Solitude. And given the upcoming self-isolation from the coronavirus, Solitude is a brilliant place to play your games behind closed doors.
Ironically enough, a name of a song by Antonio Carlos Jobim, yet another Brazilian piece of music.
You're our Brazilian music expert, which is good.
Good.
Which is good.
I'm sure this theme won't run all the way through, though.
What about then? And all, I mean, the trouble is, if you do that, you're going to end up with Leicester City playing Keflin Druids, Crusaders.
But would Leicester count as being a mid-level side?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that was just,
is that worse than Stevenage in the League Cup?
What do you mean?
Well, if you're replacing the League Cup with a cross borders tournament, how would that be better or worse? In fact, wouldn't it be slightly more charming if you get to play that game rather than Leicester Stevenage?
It actually just occurred to me, gone through my walnut-sized brain. Of course, I think he means is it should probably be the Championship, the actual Football League, with Scottish Irish. And I was then going to say, what business of David Moyes is the Championship? And then I thought it through. Well, a lot of business. You know, very likely a lot of business.
He's looking for some fun fixtures from next season. That's exactly and
also,
what he's doing.
Hopefully the draw goes well. He can go home for a couple of days, can't he? Mark, you want to tell us about a fine footballer in his own time here in Britain and beyond, Demba Ba.
Well, it's all about, and I defer to the other Mark in this particular situation, of course, the classic
Mark II,
old
as
guy,
we call him, yeah.
Exactly, that's right. Or the one who currently isn't talking about the other Mark, which makes the process of elimination. But it's the idea of comedy being all about timing is Demba Ba, who knew that this man was immaculate when it came to such matters, because it was 2013-14 season in April when Steve Gerrard, I like to keep his rhythm going,
Monsieur Gerrard,
classic bossa nova groove, I put on the Stevie Gerrard name there,
yeah,
slipped and basically kind of almost single-handedly gave the title to Manchester City. It could be argued.
Liverpool's failure was crystallised in that moment, wasn't it?
In the exact moment, exactly right. They lost the title by 2 points to Manchester City. There was a tweet just a few days ago, sort of an innocuous-looking thing. It's a five-a-side game, and it's a bunch of fat fellas running around, one of whom could run no longer and simply collapsed on the floor. And thus he landed. That's right, yeah. Clearly, it was the behind-closed-doors training game that Jose gave him that got him into the starting lineup. He goes down, and then the question is asked on that Twitter feed, what would you do?
Because, like a sportsman
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. The footballer, the striker goes through and deliberately doesn't shoot at goal.
He does the right thing. He passes back to the
keeper. He does the honourable thing.
Yeah.
Demba Ba, having kept his powder dry now for upwards of, about 7 or 8 years, sends back a one-word reply. Score.
Oh, Demba.
Because he
was the man
who did the very same thing in that game.
Well done,
Golden.
Sir. Really, really
well played,
good.
Sir.
Yeah, very good indeed. Goals, goalkeepers, your next one. Well, we saw a lot. I enjoyed the FA Cup being midweek, and I enjoyed the fact that went to penalties and all the rest of it. There were some penalty shootouts.
It gave it a certain amount of je ne sais quoi, did it not?
Jeopardy again.
Yeah.
The game, this thing's going to be over. No replay.
Yeah.
The traditionalist in me thought, how's that going to work then? Because I can remember those games between Arsenal and Sheffield Wednesday that went on for like weeks and weeks and weeks. But actually, the idea that we were going to see a result meant you. I was emotionally invested in the game.
Definitely, the FA definitely. Cup's having a bit of a. I think it's been a decent season for the FA Cup.
Well, it's the first year for a long time where in this round there's no one outside the Premier League involved. So it shows that Premier League teams are backing it again.
At a time in the FA Cup where they're all sort of like running in the other direction in theory.
Yeah, exactly. In theory, that's right. Yeah, but actually, it looks like they're taking it seriously, apart from obviously Klopp.
Yes, but so we saw a lot of penalty shootouts, but. And, of course, we saw Tim Krul in his special... It's his specialist subject, isn't it, saving penalties, when he messed up, shall I say, the Spurs players with his bottle with all their...
Message in a bottle. Some more music
written,
stuff for you
he'd
there,
written
Mark.
He'd written all the where Spurs players South tend American. To put their penalties on bits of masking tape and stuck them on his drinks bottle.
Yeah.
But if Tim is the... How shall we say, the prince of penalty savers, king.
We've got a king.
The king is.
We've got a king. His name is Daniel Batz.
Wow.
So this was in Germany.
How's he spelling Batz?
B-A-T-Z.
Okay,
Z-Z, if you're English, like I am.
I've got something to say about that. Of course I have. Keep going.
Okay. So this is fourth tier in Germany. It is in the DFB Pokal Cup. Fourth tier Starbrücken knocked Bundesliga side Fortuna Düsseldorf out of the cup. Now that's impressive.
Happens all the time in Germany. Happens all the time.
But
in
that's
Germany.
Kind of national league. Is that with low national league level? Probably that, isn't it? Yeah.
Why does it happen all the time in Germany?
For some reason, and Spain, isn't it? The big two, they often put out very good teams. For some reason, their cup competitions reclaim that the FA Cup is wide open and all the rest
the
of it,
magic.
But it's always won by the top three. In Spain and Germany, in particularly, teams for whatever reason. Partially, I think it's because the lower team is always at home.
Yeah,
and partially because it does go. There's never a replay, so that the lower teams are often they only play at home. So I think that's the real reason why you get those results. Thank you. Forced me to think about that, Mark. Thank you very much.
Walked through nicely.
Wasn't expecting that, were you?
No.
So not impressive that Bundesliga side got knocked out. But what is impressive
is
this Daniel Batz.
Yeah.
Over the entirety of the game, he managed to save 5 penalties.
Good man.
Four of them in the shootout. And one of them in normal time. 5 penalties in a game.
Yeah, very good.
I don't think I've ever seen or heard of that before.
I'm going to guess sort of like penalty taker 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. By that time, they're walking up and this keeper, it looks like about 10
Terminator.
Penalties. They just sort of exactly. This enormous man stood in front of a sentry box. Or, that's all it's going to look like.
So there were 10 penalties taken from each side. So
and he saved
sudden
half
death.
Of them.
He saved four of the 10. Yeah.
Well,
the reason why I asked about his name being spelled is obviously the word "bats" in English. It means peculiar, nutty, to use another euphemism. I'm afraid I don't want to go on the wrong side of the mental health thing, which we all take so seriously nowadays. But bats used to mean he's bats, right?
Bats in the belfry. Yeah.
Yes, quite. So there's bats. One of the French squads that went to the World Cup in the 1980s, the three goalkeepers, their surnames were, and this will not inspire you in English, that they're going to do well in this tournament, and they didn't, Bats, Rust and Dropsy. The three goalkeepers were called Bats, Rust and Dropsy.
But that was like our 2010 campaign.
Go on.
England's World Cup in 2010, wasn't it? It was just awful.
Oh, sure, but I don't know how badly France did, but you
went
can't...
Went from Bats to Rust into Dropsy.
You cannot pick a goalkeeper called Dropsy. It just doesn't work, does it? And we'll finish today's edition of the appendix, if I may, with actually something quite serious, but because, the coronavirus, the viruses will go through certain populations. Not if you live in a very hot country, because the virus doesn't survive above a certain temperature and all the rest of it. Britain seems to be front and centre, and we will have to, and the whole point of the meetings and things is to make sure that the duration of the spike and the height of the spike is as contained and controlled and looked after as it possibly can be. However, it has led to football chaos. In Italy, the government decided that all the games in a Serie A for 2 weeks would be played behind closed doors. In Switzerland, for instance, they've just cancelled them altogether and said we'll try and catch up at the end of the season. But in Italy, the Serie A games are played behind closed doors. But in one of them at the weekend, Spal against Parma, the Minister of Sports, he was watching it on the television and just thought, this isn't right. So although the players were in the tunnel, they were then to go back to the dressing rooms while he argued with the government that they needed to close down all sporting events to stop even the players meeting each other. And for 85 minutes, the empty stadium was on television screens while they had this argument about it. Now, I don't know what went on and whether the Italian government said, you can't have a ghost town. You can't have nothing going on in the country because it'll lead to people being freaked out, hence the buying and hoarding of toilet paper. Incidentally, hoard beans and soup. You have no use for the toilet paper if you've got no food, will you? This is completely the wrong way round.
People have cut to the chase somewhere, haven't they?
This is the wrong way round. The players eventually went out onto the pitch. The Minister of Sport was overruled. Spal beat Parma by a goal to nil. And I just, I only bring it to your attention because I think it might be a foretaste of the chaos that we might be having in this country.
In the next
couple of
months.
I hope not. We must fight the virus. Football is important, but not that important. But they need to get it right to avoid things like people sitting in wine bars in the case of Italy, all 12 feet apart from each other, staring at a blank screen of an empty stadium. Nobody wants that, do they?
Still better than our 3 o'clock, though, this weekend.
Much more entertaining than those 3 o'clocks, absolutely.
Yeah, empty stadium.
For those
no
of you who don't understand that joke, need to download the original podcast where that is a great appendix joke where he's linked together the two programmes.
I've got to be brutally honest, though. The image of me sitting alone in a wine bar, isn't that an unusual one, to be rude? That's
particularly if you've taken your wife to an out of season olive branch display or whatever it was.
That's right,
was it
yes.
a static owl sanctuary?
Table for one, please, this evening, garçon.
You're lucky she allows you out, to be fair.
She doesn't.
It's been fun. Thank you very much, as always, to Mark Smith and Mark Webster. Mark Smith, of course, likes to advertise his other business now.
Yeah, I do. Why don't you do it for me this time?
Well, Football 365, a brilliant football site that I invented 20 years ago, unmatched, actually, over the years, I think it's fair to say, for talent and comedy, now has its own television show. Bizarrely, Mark is the face of that TV show.
Madness, really, yeah.
It is madness.
They don't even call it a TV show anymore. That's how, how long ago it was.
Oh, no, okay.
It's not on TV, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it is.
I still call it a TV show because it sounds more glamorous. It's a web series. They call it a web series now.
A web series.
So it's all filmed, looks like a TV show, yeah. But actually it just goes out.
Okay.
Unless you've got a smart telly, in which case
simple
you can watch it on
telly. Simple question
for
you. Makeup?
Oh, yeah.
That's a TV show. Okay, thank you very, very much indeed. Mark Webster, you always do millions of things. What else do you want to tell us about? Thank you very much indeed for listening. Very much indeed. Don't forget to download the Game Day record book, a podcast itself. Go to any of these places that sell, give away podcasts, and you'll be able to download it. It's been a pleasure entertaining and informing you for the last 15 or 20 minutes. Bless you all.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.